This is an iHeart podcast.
Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up. Or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it for $4,000. She has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE or go to timesharejesse.com. Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Oh, let's get in trouble today on a Monday. Sorry, Chris. It is time to get in trouble on a Monday. History story today is going a different route than we've ever gone before in a couple different ways I will explain in a moment. We have Donald Trump at CPAC, that huge conservative conference. We have all kinds of audio. Trump making announcement about whether or not he's starting a third party. As you can imagine, Trump taking some shots at some of his opponents. We'll get to that. We have a public school, a major, major public school system doing away with advanced classes because too many whites and Asians were getting in. Yeah, it's going to be that kind of show. But first, let's get in trouble. And when I say get in trouble, here's what I mean. First of all, let me give a little disclaimer. I violated my one rule for history stories, and this is the second time I violated it, so let's all just agree it's not really a rule anymore. My rule has always been, has to be pre-1980. Where did I get that number? Just totally pulled it out of my head. That's right about the time I was born. So to me, 1981 is when I was born. But to me, 1980 and on, well, that's the current era. That's when I was here. Anything before that is ancient history. 79? Wow, did they even have running water then? And I want to make sure we're always talking about things during the history segment that's not necessarily fresh in your mind. But a couple things have to be talked about on this show. We did a show one time on Ruby Ridge. Now we're about to do one on Waco, on the Waco siege. It's 1993. It's less than 30 years ago. This violates every history rule, and this is the best part, it's going to offend everybody. There's no possible way you can present the Waco story with some weirdo freak cult, ATF screwing everything up, FBI screwing everything up. There's no way you can present this story in a way that pleases everybody, which is great for me because I don't care. I'm going to tell it how I see it. This is how I've always seen it. And here's how it goes. 1993, the Branch Davidians in Waco, Texas. They'd been around for a while. Remember, when it comes to things like this, you see the end of the story, never the beginning of the story. About 1985, they had actually kicked off, and they were led by a man named Vernon Howe. That's the last time I'm going to say his name. All you need to know is that's David Koresh. He changed his name to David Koresh later on for some weird reasons, whatever. They were an offshoot of the Seventh-day Adventists. If you're a Seventh-day Adventist, Don't email me angrily about that because I don't care. But you are welcome to call or email the show. 877-377-4373. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. And in all seriousness, about the Seventh-day Adventist thing and, you know, Christianity, I'm sure it works this way with Judaism, Islam. People will take what traditional people believe and twist it and morph it for these cults. This happens all the time. All the time. You know, it really, you have to present some truth to people to get them in, but then you just kind of tailor it to your own personal needs. And we'll get to David Koresh's personal needs here in a little while. They were, really had something going there. But it starts out in 1985, and they essentially are living in a campground. It's just some acreage in Palestine, Texas. There's not even really a building. They're the basics. Eventually, though, they move to Mount Carmel. They move to Waco, Mount Carmel, right outside of Waco, Mount Carmel, and they begin to build a facility there. Now, you need to understand this about this cult. You need to understand it about lots of cults. And I'm fascinated by cults, and I know you are too. And the amazing, horrific things. You remember the Heaven's Gate cult? It's one of the first time. In fact, man, now that I think about it, this might be the first dead body I've ever seen in my entire life was the Heaven's Gate cult on television. I'm not talking about the movies, but I mean a real dead body that I saw on television. I remember this. I should dig up the old newscast. We're watching the news one night, and they were going into some suicide of the Heaven's Gate cult, and they were waiting for some comet, and they thought God was hiding behind it or something weird. I don't remember all the details. It was weird, but they all killed themselves in their sleeping bags in their cots. And I remember, I'm a small child, and I'm looking at it thinking, oh, wow, that's what dead people look like. Now, they were in the sleeping bags, but... And Jim Jones. Everybody knows the story of Jim Jones. I've had, honestly, that might be my most requested history topic that I haven't done yet, is the Jim Jones one, you know, where everybody drank the Kool-Aid and died, and there was a shootout and a congressman gets shot. I probably should do the Jim Jones one at some point. It's just fascinating. But cults fascinate us. How do people get to believing something so odd and believe it all the way? That's hard to wrap your mind around. When you look at a picture, the Jim Jones one's a great example. Or this one we're doing today. Wait a minute. That what? Your kids too? What? I don't understand. Hold on. You poisoned yourself for this guy? What? But a lot of it comes from people perverting traditional religious texts for their own purposes. The Bible, it happens. Look, I can't speak to Judaism or Islam when it comes to cults, probably because I'm more used to American cults, but the Bible is twisted up for those purposes all the time. They almost all have some basis in the Bible. Well, this is what Jesus would want. Me and my ninth 15-year-old wife. I'm not quite sure that's what he would have wanted. That's weird. I didn't read that in my Bible, but anyway. It's odd. These people who come to these things, they're odd, but they do come. When I'm talking about a facility built in Waco, Texas, people came to this to live here and listen to David Koresh speak from Australia, from North Carolina. This wasn't as if he picked up a hobo on the side of the road who had nothing left to live for. And the guy said, well, I'll give you some food. All right, I guess I'll come along. These are people hearing the message and believing so much, they pack up their stuff, in many cases, the entire families with their kids, and move to this compound. I forget what the number is. I think it's 38% of people who live in the United States of America will never move out of their hometown. That's how grounded most people are. If I were to tell you you had to move tomorrow, I've been telling you that. Move to a red state if you can. A red area and make it redder. How difficult is that? Right now, if you had to sell your house, move your job, everything. Imagine how committed you have to be to some teacher, some, I guess they considered him a preacher, to leave Australia and come live with him. But they did. They move into this compound. We're talking 100-plus people at the compound. And how are they spending their time? Well, they're spending their time a few different ways. They're stockpiling supplies. David Koresh, though, is stockpiling something else. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to get to the controversial Waco siege and Trump bringing down the house at CPAC. Hang on.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
Did you do anything healthy this weekend? I mean, let me be clear. I should probably rephrase that. I didn't do very much healthy this weekend, but I did do one thing, and so I'm here to brag to you about it. Yeah, I ate my Super Beats heart chews every day. Well, I know what you're saying. Oh, Jesse, they taste good. It's not like that's a heavy burden. Look, when I do healthy things, I'm going to come on the radio and brag about them because that's what I do. And in all seriousness, they're so good for your heart. They're so good for your blood pressure. And it really is the easiest thing in the world you can do. Give yourself a little boost. Put away the chemicals. Put away all the man-made stuff. Go with all-natural Super Beats heart chews. Go to GetSuperBeats.com/Jesse. That's GetSuperBeats.com/Jesse. Buy two bags. Get the third for free.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
Hello, CPAC. Do you miss me yet? Do you miss me?
Woo! Man, Trump had him fired up something fierce this weekend. 877-377-4373. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. I'll get back to my Waco story in a second. I just have to say, and I'll talk more about this next hour. I'm going to go into all the CPAC stuff and why it's good and Trump stuff and all that stuff. But let me just say, you don't have to love Trump. Shoot, you can hate his guts. But I do miss the excitement he brought. I miss the excitement he brought. That's worth something. So if he's not going to run again, and I've already told you my thoughts on that, but I'll tell you again next hour. But if he's not going to run again, we need to make sure we learn some of the good lessons. And that's easy if you're a Trump lover to be like, oh, yeah, I love him. He's the best thing ever. It's harder to take if you're a Trump hater. But there are obviously many things you can learn from me. But in all seriousness, one thing you can learn from me is I learn from my enemies. I learn from Mao. I learn from my enemies what's good and bad. I learn from Nancy Pelosi. How many times have I told you? I love her. I wish we had 100 of her. And I understand she's detestable. That's how you play the game. Exactly like she plays the game. Period. Back to my story. David Koresh's cult that he has, the Branch Davidians at Waco. Like I said, over 100 people, families, men bringing their daughters, men bringing their wives. David Koresh starts to either believe, I don't know what was in his head, or convinces his followers that, you know, they should believe that he should have rights to every woman on earth. That was part of it. Well, I mean, yeah, I'm David Koresh. I have to do this. And he made it, of course, some obligation. It's a heavy load to bear, but I will do it. I will step up. But we're talking children here. He starts to take multiple wives and 14, 15 years old. and the parents were there. Wrap your mind around that. Father, wife, father, mother, both there. Here, yeah, please take my 14-year-old daughter as your wife, number 8. It was that kind of a situation. Now, that is really what's going to lead us to where this road ends, and everybody knows where this road ends. Because the community itself, Waco, I mean, it's not a big city. It's not a tiny, tiny town, but it's certainly not a big city at all. How many people, Chris? Look it up, Chris. When I say how many people, it's not that I expect you to have any knowledge of anything firsthand, but you do have an internet computer right in front of you. Could you maybe get us a population on Waco? How big? Yeah, 150,000 people. Not a big city, not a small town. But small enough that any large compound popping up outside of town with a bunch of people staying in it is going to, suspicion is putting it mildly. In a community like that, people are going to start getting more than just suspicious. They're going to want to start to know what's going on. And that's, they would want to know what's going on in any situation. If there wasn't anything gross going on there, they would want to know. You know, the history of, not to get too sidetracked here, but the history of religious persecution, because it really kind of applies to our story, around the world, whatever religious group was being persecuted at the time, and they all have been at various points, obviously Chris's people have had the worst of it, but a lot of it is because they are, in a way, set apart from the community, set apart from the way other people do things because they have a different set of beliefs. People complained about the Jews doing this all the time. Well, they all live around each other and they have these weird customs and I don't recognize this. And look, it doesn't have to be something you dislike. Different makes people uncomfortable. It was why the Romans hated the Christians early on too. The one God, what they don't, wait, they're not even drinking? I don't understand. It made people uncomfortable. Different makes people uncomfortable, even if it's all on the up and up. Now you take different and you start adding in rumors that are starting to leak. I just told you there's over 100 people at this compound. You know how many people on the planet can actually keep a secret? I mean, really keep one and not tell anybody in the world? Well, there's me, and I would guess about 5 other people on planet Earth. People have this, because they lack a certain level of self-confidence, people have this need to talk, and they have this need to gain social clout by saying things that they know about other people. It's a terrible, terrible part of human nature, but it is part of human nature. The only reason I don't have it is I'm a sociopath who doesn't care what people think, but normal people feel this. People cannot keep secrets. I have a friend who I'm not going to name, but friend is probably putting it strong, but a friend that I'm not going to name, he cannot stop talking. No matter what. You think, you hear me talk for 3 hours a day, so you always hear me monologuing into the radio. That's what this guy sounds like in person. Hey, Jesse, did you see this? He is the type of guy, I'm not exaggerating at all. This just happened to me 3 days ago. He will send you a random text about something. Hey, did you see this? You see Trump said this. And I will send him back, if I have time, a quick yes. He will then respond with 13 straight text messages. Not making this up. He's incapable, completely incapable of containing himself or being quiet. You can't ever tell that guy a secret. If you're not comfortable with quiet, you can't know secrets. Inevitably, he will have to fill in the void with something. Secrets leak. Secrets started to leak out of the Branch Davidian camp at Waco. And what are those secrets? Well, people have different levels of loyalty. People have different levels of what they're comfortable with. Maybe you did quit your job, pack up your stuff, and move to Waco with the hopes of finding God. And you know, maybe you had, and I'm assuming, honestly, when you hear their stories, I'm assuming most people had good-sounding intentions when they went there. But then you get there, and I'm sorry, he has how many wives? That girl's 15. You would get uncomfortable pretty quickly, but maybe not so uncomfortable that you did anything about it or left. Now, some did leave. Let me clarify. By this point, some had already started to leave, but they weren't leaving in droves. It was just some people were all, this guy's getting a bit much for me. They were leaving. Word leaks to Waco that this guy has these child women, child wives, that it's ugly. And the local paper gets a hold of this information. And we'll come right back to that in a second. Let me explain something that he's teaching them before we cap on that. He is teaching them, as many, 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 many cults do, that the apocalypse is coming, that he's going to be present for it. In fact, one of his base teachings, and this is going to be really applicable in our story, one of his base teachings was his death is going to basically usher in the apocalypse or coincide with the apocalypse, whatever way you want to put it. And his followers who die with him will get to go with him to heaven. Did you hear me? His death means the apocalypse. If you choose to come along for the ride, you are going to heaven. And this was openly preached there. Now, what do you think about that? We're going to have a discussion about what you think about that in a moment. It's going to be different than what you're expecting. And we'll hit more Trump stuff and, oh, good, more domestic terror powers for the DOJ. That's wonderful. Hang on.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When it comes to former President Trump's issue agenda and policies, which of the following comes closer to your own personal opinion? 95% of you want to continue his policies and agenda. 95%. Amazing. Amazing. There's only 3% that want to move away. Must have let a couple reporters in.
That was the straw poll at CPAC. Yowza. You can find me on social media at JesseKellyDC on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I'm on Locals. As you can tell, I'm posting more and more on Locals. I understand there's like a paid subscription and then there's a free one. I do post things for the people who pay for it just because I would feel bad if you paid for something and I never gave you anything, that you just got everything everyone else did. That's a bunch of crap. So I do post videos that I'll leave for the paid people, but I put a bunch of free stuff there too. It's the place I can't get kicked off of, and I've been suspended so many times from all the other platforms. We all know the axe is coming here very shortly. You know what's wild, Chris? Before I get back into my Waco story, I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, I'm a very deep thinker, Chris. What? I'm a very deep thinker, and I was thinking to myself about the positions that I take on things. And just by various positions. And I thought, you know, I realize everybody thinks I'm controversial and offensive. I don't have a single position on anything that would have been the slightest bit offensive in 1990. Maybe even 2,000. Do I? I don't care about pot. You're right, I don't care. Well, it's not that hold on. Let me clarify. I don't care about pot is a strong way to put it. I don't judge anybody because I have done plenty of that in my life. Smoked plenty of pot in my life. That said, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's good for you. I just don't think the government should have any say-so in it at all, because you're a bunch of drugged-out losers anyway. I mean, all these people are the worst, dumbest people in the history of mankind, and I also have seen how badly alcohol trashes people's bodies. And again, I'm not going to do the, pot's good for you, it's from the earth, man. I'm not going to do that, because that's, come on, don't be an idiot. Anything you smoke that makes you high like that is not healthy for your mind. It's not healthy for your body. Anything you breathe into your lungs is not healthy for your body. However, don't you dare tell me it's worse for you than alcohol. Alcohol is bad. It is really bad. And I say that as somebody with some brown water in my house as we speak. A little bourbon action. All right, back to Waco. Quit distracting me, Chris. We're focusing. We have CPAC today. Trump spoke for the first time in a long time, talked about a bunch of stuff. Apparently, we're all going to be domestic terrorists. We have this major public school system doing away with advanced classes because there were too many whites and Asians. Maybe I'll tell an offensive Asian story next hour. I love that story. I'm telling that story, Chris. I can say it. We'll be fine. Everyone understands what they're getting at this point. Back to Waco. Let me ask you something. Why do you think the apocalypse message is so appealing to people? Why do you think it is? David Koresh telling his followers at Waco, I'm going to usher in the apocalypse. His followers are told they will go to heaven with David Koresh. No worries. Just make sure you die with me. It'll all be the beginning of the end. Why do you think that message is appealing to people? Because, love it or not, people are worried, have always been worried, and will always be worried about where they're going when they die. And anybody who brings them a solution to that great unknown that exists in the human mind is somebody who gets followed every single time. Everybody wants a savior. Everyone does, period. What else are they doing out there? On top of the child brides and the preaching and the music, they're training. Because very early on, they started to become really aware that people were going to take an active interest in them. And when you're selling apocalypse religion, in general, weapons come with it. So they start stockpiling weapons and stockpiling ammunition, and I mean lots of it, and they are training with it. Which brings me to the part of the story where I really stop focusing on bagging on the Branch Davidians and focus on bagging on the federal government. Yes, this brings me to the ATF. The ATF chooses to start investigating. Why did they choose to start investigating? Well, you can't ever really get a straight answer on this. Believe me, I've watched a million things and read a million things on it. The answer is always, well, we were hearing they were getting fully automatic weapons. Oh, okay. All right. I mean, don't even ask me why the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Bureau exists when all three of those are legal in the United States of America, but that's another story entirely. The ATF, when they start investigating, and this is the thing about law enforcement, when it's used the right way, this stuff that I'm about to talk about is so beneficial, and I'm not going to be that naive guy. We don't need cops. I'm never going to say that because, you know, I love cops. But when they start investigating, they just start watching. They post up in a house right across the way, and they start observing what's going on. Just taking pictures, looking through the binoculars. Who's coming in? Who's going out? You're making a log of things. They decide to send in an undercover federal agent. The undercover federal agent becomes quote-unquote part of the Branch Davidians, even though David Koresh ended up figuring the guy out and knew he was undercover. But he ends up becoming part of the Branch Davidians. What's the undercover guy going to report back to the ATF, FBI, to all the feds? He's going to report, yes, there are lots of weapons here. Yes, the guy has child brides. Once the newspaper gets a hold of the information that there are child brides, this is really what kicked things off, because they started running front page stuff on David Koresh, the false messiah, I believe they called him on the front page. Child brides. And now what you have is a community and a growing feeling in the country that, wait a minute, there's a compound here where young girls are being abused. Somebody needs to go save them now. And the reason this story is so complicated and creates so many emotions in people is that's a perfectly valid complaint for the public to have. Hold on. You mean in that building right there, young girls are being abused? And look, for everybody who's not a weapons-grade scumbag, the abuse of young girls is like the worst thing in the history of mankind, right? I don't even have a soul, and that's the kind of thing that makes me want to murder people. So the community at large is obviously going to freak out. The feds know they have to start ramping things up. They had initially wanted to snatch up David Koresh just by himself and cart him off. They can't seem to get a hold of him. This guy, as many cult leaders are, is a crafty devil, not an idiot. They are rarely idiots. Almost always sociopaths, very, very, very rarely stupid. They decide on a raid. A raid is such a bad call in this situation. It's genuinely unbelievable there are people who defend what the feds did here still to this day. It's unbelievable. I get the public sentiment. I get wanting to step in. You want to know why this raid was so bad? I will explain. I'm going to wrap this up, and then we'll finally get to some more Trump at CPAC. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. That's doihaveprediabetes.org.
Wait, did they just say one in three adults has prediabetes? That's 33.33333% of adults. That means it could be me, my boss, or my boss's boss, or me, my favorite sister, or my other sister. That's seven members of my 21-person romantic book club. Wait, the one in three could be me, my karaoke partner Carol, or my karaoke enemy Jeff. I'm going to take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
If the election were held today, who would you vote for? And the far and away, the front runner is President Trump with 55% of the vote. The next is Ron DeSantis getting 21% of the vote. Then everybody else is down in single digits.
Ooh, boy. That was the CPAC poll. 877-377-4373. It's me, the Shogun, the Oracle, Sombrero Jesse. Let's get back to Waco so we can get to these stories. We got to get to Trump at CPAC. Oh, gosh. I mean, you know what? We're going to have to make fun of Nikki Haley a little bit today. I wasn't going to. Chris, listen, let me explain. I wasn't going to, but sometimes, even on days where I wake up and I'm all, I'm going to be good today. Today, I'm going to be a good person. And then I feel like I have these temptations that are just constantly put in front of me. Like Nikki Haley doing something so dumb. And I just like, now I have to make fun of her. I have to. I have an obligation. All right. So feds decide on a raid at Waco. There's something called OPSEC, operational security. But the high-speed guys always shorten it to OPSEC. And we were constantly scolded about it in the Marine Corps. I mean, you're told, even when you write letters back home, you don't even tell your parents where you are in the country. You don't divulge any information to anybody. And people will say stupid things. Like, what? Are your parents going to call the Iraqi government? No. You get in the habit of never sharing anything with anybody, and things tend to work out in the end. The feds plan a raid on the Waco compound, and the media finds out. How does the media find out? How can that come up in a random conversation? And this is pre-text messaging, 1993. Who makes that phone call? Who says that in a meeting? Oh, we're going to raid. And not only does the media find out about it, the media knows when it's happening. And this is maybe one of the all-time things I've ever heard in my life. So on the day of the raid, at the time of the raid, the local media cruises out there to the compound so they can capture the raid on video. You want to document it if you're the paper. They get lost. This is pre-GPS on your phone. This is 1993. They get lost. They can't find it. They run into the mailman. Oh, well, that's great news. Who would know better than the mailman? They stop, have a long chit-chat with the mailman. Hey, where's this compound? We're trying to get out there. Blah, 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 blah. And remember, they already knew at the compound they were being watched. They knew there was an undercover agent. So the local guys stop, talk to the mailman. Mailman sends them on their way. The mailman is also a member of the cult. I'm not making this up. He turns around and drives right back to the compound and says, hey, David, Mr. Koresh, yeah, they're absolutely going to raid today. I just ran into a media guy out there. He's trying to find directions to get here to videotape the whole thing. At this point, and what is an all-time power move, even for a child-marrying psychopath, David Koresh goes to the undercover guy and tells him, by the way, I know you're an undercover fed. This is like not news to me. I know you're an undercover here. I just want you to know, though, your guys are coming, and I know they're coming. You might want to let them know. The guy does. The undercover guy, and he gave testimony to this after the fact. He goes and he informs the higher-ups, they know you're coming. And this entire raid, if you're going to raid a compound with a bunch of trained people with loads of guns and ammo, you have got to shock them. This is not going to be a shock for them at all. Now, this information that they knew the ATF was coming was brought to the guy who was in charge of this whole raid. And everybody's already geared up now, right? Everyone's got their stuff on. They're ready to roll. Hey, buddy, not sure. Boss, I think you need to know these wacko cult people, they know we're coming. One of the hardest things in life to stop. One of the hardest things in life to define. One of the hardest things in life to control is momentum. I was actually watching something on this yesterday as I was just trying to finish up for the show. And one of my sons was watching it with me. And one of the agents on there comes on and says, well, all the momentum was going that way. And my son asked me, Dad, what's momentum? And I paused it, and I had to brew on it for a few. How do I describe what momentum is? But it is hard to define, and it's really hard to stop. When everyone's geared up, everyone's adrenaline is pumping, everyone's ready to go, you have a 3D model of the compound, everybody knows their role, you have the FBI, the HRT version of the FBI, the ATF there. It's really, really hard, especially, it's going to sound like I'm defending them here, but I'm not, but when you're one of those guys And we need guys like that in the world. Guys like that are who builds countries, who saves countries. You need guys who will put on a bulletproof vest and grab a weapon and storm through a door. But that kind of guy is built different than the guy you do take your taxes to at H&R Block. He just is. That kind of guy is hard to hold back once he's going. Everything was going. The raid is on. All right, on my life, I'm going to get this thing finished up and we'll get to all the Trump CPAC stuff. Hang on.
.145/92 .180/111
.182/100 And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you, start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'm coming back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Hello, CPAC. Do you miss me yet? Do you miss me?
877-377-4373. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I can't wait to talk to Michael Malice about CPAC. I have a feeling he's just going to dog on it. It'll be hilarious. And then get this. In the final hour, internationally praised journalist Laura Logan, one of the few journalists left on the planet. Laura Logan is coming on to talk about the state of journalism. Gosh, that's going to be outstanding. You know what I had to do to get Laura Logan on the show, Chris? You know what I had to do to get Laura Logan on the show? Oh, I just had to ask. It's because I'm me. In your stupid face. I'm so glad I'm blessed with this much power. Nobody could, no better person for it than me, Chris. All right, we'll finish Waco. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
He was getting on a plane. He told me last, he came in to see me last event, and representatives. Shirley Jackson Lee, Al Green, Sylvia Garcia, Lizzie Pinelli, Pinnell, and what am I doing here? I'm going to lose track here.
Oh, we're in so much trouble. All right, 877-377-4373. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Remember, you can email your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions. You're never too early. Send them. We set them aside. It's fine. Also, if you miss any part of our show, ever, It's all podcasted after the show, even though it's a nationally syndicated show, growing and growing still, surprisingly. It's all podcasted on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. On iTunes, leave a 5-star rating and leave a review talking about how handsome I am. The feds decide it's raid time. They pull up in front of the compound in trailers, just cattle trailers, trying to be somewhat sneaky about it. They don't know. For some reason, the word didn't get down to lots of guys to the guys who were actually doing the raiding that they know you're coming. The guys who showed up still thought it was going to be a surprise. And they show up, and here comes our first controversy. It won't be our last. Shots are fired. Everybody has a different argument because nobody knows who shot first. I will say this, having dug into it for a long time, I believe, and I believe pretty solidly, I'm not telling you it's right, I wasn't there, that the ATF guys shot first. I think they shot the dogs. I know they shot the dogs. I think that's what they did first. It's not uncommon, just like at Ruby Ridge, and I'm not dogging on them for this, although it sounds terrible. It's not uncommon to shoot the dogs. The dogs are dangerous. Dogs are aggressive. Dogs can screw everything up. They smell and hear you coming. If you're going to raid someplace, please don't ever do that illegally, but if you're going to raid someplace, you got to kill the dogs, period. But shots are fired from somebody. Now the people inside who knew they were coming start opening up on the ATF guys. The ATF guys start opening back up on the people inside. The ATF guys crawl onto the roof. There's videotape of this. They're climbing up a ladder to try to raid the house and get in the arms room because there was one room where they kept most of the firearms. And people are dying. ATF agents are dying. Branch Davidian guys are dying. 5 or 6 cult members at this point are dead. By the time this thing is done, and this is like a 3-hour shootout, 4 ATF agents are dead as well. Well, 4 feds are dead. They had 118 people in there. The local sheriff is the one who gets a ceasefire called. He just basically tells everyone, stop, everybody stop. Again, rumor is now, and all I can go is rumor, that the ATF is the one who was pleading for the ceasefire because they were virtually out of ammunition. 3 hours is a long standoff. The people inside were not out of ammunition. Not by a long shot. Ceasefire's called. Now you have media flooding in. Now you have a siege situation. They have the area surrounded. You have dead cops. You have dead cult members. The cult starts releasing some of the kids as a show of good faith. David Koresh starts releasing videos of people who are just giving their little testimony in there of, hey, I don't know why the cops are here. I'm very happy. We're all very happy. I don't know why they're here. I don't know what you're doing. Like I said, they're turning some people loose. The FBI has negotiators working, and they're making progress. Hey, let some more people go. Hey, trying to get to know somebody. They're making progress slowly but surely. But you are working against something at this point in time. Remember, we have dead feds. Remember, it's a different type of man who kicks in a door with a weapon in his hand. You kill one of his friends, he wants some payback. The side that is not the negotiation side, that's the tactical side. The tactical teams are angry. They are vengeful. They want to go back in. And so they start taking steps that are honestly, in hindsight, it's amazing we did this. Remember, there are still kids and women all in this place. They cut the power. They start treating this situation like it's some horrible terrorist situation, meaning they're harassing them at night, shining floodlights from helos through the windows, playing sounds of animals dying. It's essentially using terror tactics on them. Koresh releases even more women, only these are like his loyal ones because he wants them to go out and tell everybody, ah, we love David, leave us alone. He knows this is a public relations campaign at this point. And in steps Janet Reno, That's right, Bill Clinton's attorney general. And she gives the sign off, go attack them. They decide it's attack day. They essentially roll up fully armored vehicles loaded with basically like a crane on the end of it that disperses tear gas, lots of it. They roll up to the compound and start tear gassing everybody inside. Now, I have to say at this point in time, cult members who had left the cult were in contact with the feds throughout this process, telling the feds, explaining to the feds, these people believe in the apocalypse. I guarantee you these people think you are the apocalypse. You cannot raid that house or everyone's going to die. You cannot raid that house or everyone's going to die. You cannot raid that house or everyone. They have been told time and time and time again. Now, nobody knows how the fire gets started. The feds blame the cult guys. The cult guys blame the feds. What we do know is the building lights on fire, and it is a rural Texas dried-out tinderbox of a building, and the blaze starts cooking. 75 people dead. 25 of them are children. David Koresh, dead. Gunshot wound to the head, I should say. We don't know, suicide or whether he had someone else do it. He was wounded in the initial battle anyway, in the wrist and in the hip. There are a whole lot of lessons you can take from this story. Lessons about a human being's desire to belong to something. But one thing I want you to take, one thing I have to have myself take and accept: knowledge of your opponent is everything. Absolutely everything. And having enough ability to swallow your pride to accept new information about who you're facing. Knowledge is everything. It is critical for you and I at this point in time, when we talk about the different groups who are our opponents, and they are our opponents, we must understand the motivations behind all of them, or we'll never, ever, ever figure out how to overcome them. I don't care whether we're talking about GOP establishment types. I don't care whether we're talking about Antifa, Black Lives Matter, these radical teachers' unions, corporate America. We must get them, or we will never, ever, ever be able to overcome them. And as the out-of-power rebel force at this point in time, we have to be good at that. Absolutely have to be good at that. All right. It is time for Trump's speech. Let's get to it. Let's break it all down for you. It was a doozy of a weekend. Hang on.
Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What? Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these failure drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems, because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you 10% off.
This is an iHeart podcast.